First, the 2018 Winter Paralympics kick off tomorrow, and in our continuing coverage of Wisconsin Paralympians, WPR's Maureen McCollum recently spoke with curler Justin Marshall. He's a native of Evansville who's been in a wheelchair ever since suffering a spinal cord stroke at the age of 12.
You've only been curling for a few years, right?
4 years, yeah.
So why did you first start curling?
About 4 years ago, I was watching the Olympic trials on like ESPN 2, 3, whatever it was, like really late at night. And they looked to a guy on the crowd and they talked about how he was the father of two current Olympians. And he was also the Paralympic coach and he was out of Madison, Wisconsin. So that kind of got my mind thinking and I went to work the next day and there was a guy I worked with who had talked about how he was a curler and curled a few times. And so I went and talked to him. He's like, oh yeah, I know Steve Brown. I'll introduce you to him. And met him. And basically from then on, he just encouraged me, we got to get on the ice. Let's go. You got to try this. So I did. And after being on the ice like three, maybe four times, he's like, you have to come to the Team USA tryouts. And I was like, no, that's like way too soon. I don't know the terms of the game even. I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, you have to come. And that year I ended up making the top eight high performance team. So that just kind of fueled it. And I just started practicing, training every day and just fully engulfed in it.
That's amazing. Like, people work their whole lives for this, and apparently you're just a natural.
I wouldn't say that, but I got lucky. I'd say I got lucky.
So what do you think it is about you? What sort of skill set are you bringing to the team that made you part of Team USA?
Great question. I'm not sure. I like to say that I have a pretty even keel out on the ice. I'm able to keep everyone kind of calm, but I like to keep things lighthearted. At the end of the day, we're playing a game out there, and so we need to have some fun. Not make it so crazy, stressful, and business-oriented, but be able to relax and, you know, just play as good as we can out there.
What is it about curling that you love so much?
I've always been super competitive, so that's, you know, that helps. I love competition of any form, in any form, and so that helps. But I also, my profession, I'm an architectural associate, so I love spatial relations and geometry and how things line up and align, and, you know, that's so much a part of this sport is angles and, you know, just all that sort of stuff. So it all kind of just combined in this sport, and I got addicted.
As a curler, you're not making millions of dollars off your sport, so you have to hold down a full-time job. Has your job been accommodating to your curling schedule?
Yeah, they've been pretty good about it all. I mean, I travel a lot for this, and so basically, my daily routine is I get to work at 6 a.m., I work till 2 p.m., and I cut out of there to come over here and practice for 2 hours before league starts, and then I, you know, head home to my wife. So it's a busy schedule. You know, I'm not there when other people are there, so it makes communication at work hard. And then I travel a lot, like this year, because it's the Olympic year, you know, I've probably taken 2 to 3 months of unpaid leave, but they've been accommodating in that fact that they're willing to let me travel and do all this and chase this dream without letting me go.
Some of the other curlers here at the Madison Curling Club were saying that the big hope for the future would be that curling becomes professional in the United States. Is that something you hope for too?
That'd be nice. I'm not really holding my breath for that. Just I know how the funding, you know, works, and it's just not there for our sport yet. But it's gaining momentum, and you know, people stop me on the street just to ask me about the sport because they see me maybe wearing my jacket or something like that. And so the interest is there. So hopefully one day, that'd be nice.
Well, I see your shirt, your uniform. You have some sponsors.
Right. Yeah. We definitely have some local sponsors and stuff like that, actually from all throughout the U.S. So anytime we go anywhere, we try and make, you know, the best of it and talk to as many people as we can just to educate people about the sport because it's one of those things, like, Wisconsin and Minnesota is kind of the epicenter of curling. Like, around here, people have at least heard of it, but we actually had a training camp in Phoenix, Arizona, and people like, we've never even heard of this. So we're just trying to educate everyone about the sport.
Even if Wisconsin and Minnesota are the epicenter of curling, there are still so many people who don't get it here.
Yeah.
So how do you explain the sport to people? I generally tell people it's kind of like shuffleboard on ice.
Right. Yeah, that's about as good as it gets. It's shuffleboard on ice with a chess-type strategy, and it scored like bocce ball. That's how I try to explain it. I mean, that's because actually one of the hardest things to figure out is the scoring, too. It's kind of a weird system, but if you know bocce ball, that's how it's scored, I guess.
So when you're on the ice competing, do you have a philosophy that you follow as a team member? You said you like to keep spirits up, but what about game strategy?
Yeah, everyone out there is a little bit different, and I think that that's the interesting part of the, about this sport is team dynamics. Just like any team sport, you know, you want to get to know each other as good as you possibly can to know when to say something to someone, when not to say something to someone, you know, just to kind of how to boost their ego or just kind of keep them mellow-headed when the time's right. There's times to speak up when you think there's an important strategy move, but you don't want to always be second-guessing them or always putting a secondary thought in their mind.
They'll know when you're speaking up that it actually matters.
Right. If you're speaking up all the time, you know, just kind of always saying something, it's going to be much easier for them to ignore you. But if you speak up, you know, one, two times per game, they might, you know, take a look at what you're actually saying or telling them.
So naively, what I did not know about wheelchair curling is that there's no sweeping involved.
Right.
So that's like a whole other element of skill that you have to have when you're playing.
Yeah. So because there's no sweeping, as soon as we let the stone go, there's no way to adjust either where that stone's going or how far it's going. So all we have a basically a static delivery. You sit still and you push the stone, but you're only pushing that stone for basically as long as your arm is. So you have about a 3-foot delivery to, you know, to get that stone where you want it to go, 120 feet down the sheet of ice. So when you think about, you know, what little control you have in that 3 feet, it's 100% muscle memory, really. I mean, that's why we're out here 5 days a week, a couple hours a day, just throwing stones. And so many of our stones that we throw are just what we call draw shots, which are just placing it in the middle of that target, just so you can build that muscle memory so that when you go somewhere else, and maybe the ice is a little bit different speed or it has more curl, you know that you need to adjust and how much you need to adjust based on where you're, you know, what your arm is used to.
And oftentimes with curling, you're at the whims of the ice, but even more so with wheelchair curling because you can't control it with sweeping.
Yep. So that's, we rely a lot on taking times from hog line to hog line so that if we can tell the ice is maybe a half second faster, and that way we can relay that to the other team members saying, hey, the ice is just a little bit quicker and a little straighter, so you're going to have to back off on your delivery just a little bit. So instead of aiming like you would be aiming to the middle of the target, back your home ice, now maybe pretend like you're aiming to the top of the target because it's going to travel an extra 4 feet. So that's when we start practicing, you know, different weights, where we're aiming, moving that aiming point around on the sheet of ice so that, you know, we just have all these little, I guess, tricks in our back pocket.
I know you've only been curling for a few years, but it must feel so amazing to be heading to the Paralympic Games.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I mean, we've traveled a lot of cool places and done a decent little amount of international travel. But with this year, I mean, yeah, it's gonna be a crazy couple months here, but really looking forward to it.
Your teammate, Kirk Black, he trains out of the Madison Curling Club with you. And then your teammate, Penny Greeley, she curls up in Green Bay. And you have two other team members who are out east.
Yeah, Steve Empt and Megan Leno, and they're out of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and somewhere in Connecticut.
So is it hard being apart?
That's probably one of the hardest parts that we spread out. It takes flights and hotel rooms and a, you know, full weekend trip. You're looking at a couple $1,000s just to practice together on any given weekend. So that's one of the, you know, I don't want to say downfalls, but it's one of the harder things, you know, to deal with as a team. It's a little, another hurdle to jump over, but we make the best of it. We try to see each other in a year like this at least once a month, get together and train somewhere, whether it be out on the East Coast, here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, wherever we happen to be.
Do you have any predictions for how you'll do? Obviously, coming home with a gold is ideal.
Yep, that's definitely the goal, and that's the hope. I mean, I'm just looking forward to the experience overall. I've talked to, you know, some of the past Olympians and past Paralympians, and all they can say is just soak everything in, you know, just enjoy the moment. And that's what I'm going to try and do. I think really I'm looking forward to the opening ceremony. I've watched them on TV, you know, right? Like national anthem or whatever's playing, and they announce, you know, Team USA, right? And everyone comes walking out and waving and everything. So I think once that happens, it's all really going to hit home and, you know, sink in. But right now it's just kind of day-to-day grind of working and training and getting after it.
I'm such a sap. I have a hard time not crying while watching the Olympics.
Well, for the past, I don't know how many Olympics, like, even before I was even a part of even being Team USA, I threw, like, Olympic parties where we, like, get together during the opening ceremonies and, you know, have a big party and, like, yeah, USA. And now it's just, you know, it means 10 times more. Like, I never even thought that this would be a possibility, and now it's a reality.
That was WPR's Maureen McCollum talking with Justin Marshall, a native of Evansville, who's competing at the upcoming Paralympic Games in curling.